We begin with more details about the incident at Present Day on Main in Carrboro last weekend that led business owners to close the store for safety reasons. Last Sunday, Present Day was hosting a private party when a woman showed up uninvited to distribute campaign literature. Owners Sophie Superman and Soteria Shepperson say the woman refused to leave, got belligerent, and assaulted a patron. Then the trespasser called 911, and store owners say police were more sympathetic to her than to the victim. Carrboro Police Chief Chris Atack later clarified the trespasser had already left by the time the officers arrived. No further comment from them because the incident is being reviewed. The assault victim has filed a misdemeanor charge against the alleged assaulter, 54-year-old Marla Benton. Benton was campaigning for Asia Kelleher, who's running for town council. Kelleher put out a statement on Wednesday calling the incident unacceptable, apologizing to Shepperson and Superman, and expressing support for Present Day on Main. For now, the store is still closed, but a GoFundMe page has been set up to raise funds to cover lost revenue, buy more cameras, signs, and security gates, and establish an endowment fund to support Black women working locally for racial equity. Here's Superman speaking on that.
It would be an ongoing thing that we could fundraise for and that people could put money into, that would put money directly into the hands of Black women doing this racial equity work, who show up on a volunteer basis, who do advocacy work in their community to make sure that money is coming to them directly. We're still figuring out the details, but it would be for Black women, by Black women, guided by Black women, and making sure that Black women really are getting the recognition and compensation that they deserve for this extremely hard work.
Get a link to the GoFundMe page on our website, chapelboro.com. So far, it's raised nearly $5,000 out of a $25,000 goal. In other news, Chapel Hill Transit held an event on Friday to unveil three new buses, electric buses to be exact, with zero emissions. Local and state leaders were on hand for that, and so was 97.9 The Hill Zone, Ava Pukach.
Chapel Hill Transit employees, local government leaders, and community members gathered at the Eubanks Park and Ride Friday morning to celebrate the new electric vehicles and even take them for a spin. The transit service started the electric vehicle project in 2018 after receiving a large federal grant. The buses have been in test phases since the fall, with current battery life lasting between 10 to 12 hours. The vehicles are planned to operate at full service later this spring. Congressman David Price spoke to Chapelboro about the new electric vehicles hitting the roads.
So they're going to be driving Chapel Hill streets all day with no emissions, and that's that adds up after a while to a lot of improved air quality and improved health outcomes. So we're pleased with it, and Chapel Hill's led in this for a long time.
Price chairs the U.S. House Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Appropriations Subcommittee, which oversees funding for transit services like Chapel Hill's. The Federal Transit Administration provided a $1.3 million grant for funding. The UNC Renewable Energy Special Projects Committee, a student group on campus, funded $400,000 toward the purchase as well.
We've had a big push in Chapel Hill for bus service, for free bus service. We have the second largest bus ridership in the state, and we're certainly not the second largest town, but we've had enthusiastic participation.
The three electric buses are not the only new aspect of Chapel Hill Transit. Earlier in the week, the Chapel Hill Town Council chose to name the transit facility in honor of former Chapel Hill Mayor Howard Lee and his wife Lillian. Outreach manager Jeffrey Sullivan said the announcement was exciting.
Howard Lee was instrumental in starting Chapel Hill Transit, and I think it's incredible he's had a chance to see from where he started it to what it's grown to. It's exciting, and it's great to see, and happy to have his legacy a permanent part of our building.
Chapel Hill Transit began under Lee's leadership in 1974. Lee bought a used bus in Atlanta and drove it back to Chapel Hill, the first bus in the transit system. Transit Director Brian Litchfield said he has a photo from that ribbon cutting hanging on his wall, joking that he hopes the transit director years from now will have a similar photo on their wall from the electric bus unveiling.
And I think this is something that Mayor Lee, not only is he proud that the transit system that he created continues to succeed, but I think he'd be proud that we're able to move into the zero emission environment as well.
Chapel Hill Transit hopes to eventually have its entire fleet be electric and zero emission. 8 additional electric vehicles are expected to join the fleet through the next year. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Eva Puket.
Local government news. The Orange County School Board meets in the Witted Building tonight at 6:30 to vote on a budget request for county commissioners. Meanwhile, the Hillsborough Town Board meets in Town Hall at 7 with an agenda that includes more discussion on how to design and hang decorative banners on Duke Energy-owned power poles. In Chatham County, the school board meets at 5:30 at the Pittsboro Courthouse to consider its own budget plan for next year. And the Pittsboro Town Board meets virtually at 7 to get a quarterly update from Main Street, Pittsboro. And a busy day in Durham, too. The City Council is meeting jointly with the Housing Board to discuss downtown development and ongoing efforts to reduce evictions. That meeting is virtual at 1 p.m. And Durham County Commissioner's Chair Brenda Howerton will deliver the annual State of the County address when the board meets tonight at 7. You can get the full agenda for each of those meetings on our website, chapelborough.com. Worth noting also in Durham, today is the day that mask mandates lift in K-12 public schools, their last district in the Triangle to lift its mask mandate. Now over to UNC campus, where the university on Friday celebrated Arts Everywhere Day with performances and events of all kinds, and we mean all kinds, including a collective screaming session on Polk Place. Carolina Connection's Jade Wilson with more on that.
Bend the knees and take a deep breath in. Access the pelvic floor.
There's no doubt that the past 2 years have been emotionally taxing for us all. Isolation, fear, loss, what we've experienced due to COVID-19 has had long-lasting impacts on our mental health. What better way to release some of those bottled-up emotions than with a scream? Yesterday afternoon, Arts Everywhere, a campus-wide initiative aimed at integrating the arts into the university's culture and daily operations, hosted the Big Screen with students from the Department of Dramatic Arts Professional Actor Training Program. The graduate students facilitated various ways to release: laughter, words, hums, and screams. Graduate actor Sanjana Taskar led a demonstration on how to protect one's voice.
If all you can muster today is just a light, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. So I just want to make sure that we're not overexerting ourselves. If it starts to feel bad, that is a good indication as to stop.
Our bodies hold our trauma, and human connection is a part of that healing. Adream Smith, third-year graduate actor, said this event isn't a cure-all, but is hopeful people will feel seen.
Like the word disease, if you break it down, it's really dis-ease, discomfort in the body. That's when it starts to show up and manifest in all those different ways.
Psychology major Hannah Evans was excited for the opportunity to come together and let go of some tension.
When else are we going to have the opportunity to scream? Like, it just seems like a fun story to tell afterwards. So, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, it's been a crazy week, so I feel like screaming will just release everything, all my tension and stuff.
Prepared for what may come up during and after the release, listening volunteers were on standby to emotionally support participants. After all, we're still in a pandemic. In Chapel Hill, I'm Jade Wilson.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturday mornings on 97.9 The Hill. Hey, visit our website, chapelborough.com, for even more news, including an update on the race for the Republican Senate nomination, how big an impact Donald Trump's endorsement may have, and details on what we're likely to see in Chapel Hill when the U.S. gets its next full solar eclipse in 2024. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. Basketball season is over in Chapel Hill, and football season is underway. UNC held its annual spring game at Keenan Stadium on Saturday, with all eyes on the quarterback position as Drake May and Jacoby Criswell compete to replace Sam Howell as the starter, with highly touted freshman Connor Harrell waiting in the wings. Here's Mac Brown speaking about his QBs.
I mean, they're a lot alike. Both of them have quick arms. Both of them can throw the ball deep. They're both accurate. They both can run. Jacoby's got more experience because people forget he's been here 2 years now and had a lot more reps. But the biggest thing is, who's going to throw to the right guy? Who's going to be the most accurate the most of the time? And the other thing is, who's getting the ball out of their hands? We've had too many sacks. We didn't have any today. Get the ball out of your hand. And we've worked so hard on that. You watch the great quarterbacks in the NFL, they get the ball out of their hands. And it's gone, so you don't have tackles for loss. Sacks were in drives. And we've had so many of them to ruin drives. As good as we've been on offense, we've been able to overcome it. I don't want to be that team. I want us to go back and be a lot more consistent. And I'm seeing that with both quarterbacks. So we could put one in the game. If he does well, leave him in. If he struggles, put the other one in. And usually somebody has a hot hand during the game. So we've got a lot of thinking to do. We'll go back and look at it hard in the fall. But we're just so fortunate to have two really good ones and another young one that I thought looked good. We see that in the spring. On the normal practices, we see Connor do that every day. The other day in the stadium, he had a couple of real bonehead plays that looked like they were high school senior plays. And today he didn't. I thought he did really well, so I'm proud of him as well.
That's Mac Brown speaking there. You can read more about the spring game on our website, chapelboro.com. Elsewhere, it was a wild weekend for UNC baseball on the road at Louisville for a three-game set. After splitting the first two games on Friday and Saturday, things got strange on Sunday. Carolina was up 5-1 in the sixth inning when Louisville had to evacuate the entire stadium due to a bomb threat. 2 hours later, the players were cleared to finish the game with no fans in the stands. The Cardinals tied it up with three runs in the bottom of the ninth and went on to win 6-5 in 14 innings. Heels will look to bounce back tomorrow at 6, hosting NCA&T in Moshimer Stadium. UNC softball was also in Louisville over the weekend, and they also dropped 2 out of 3. Elsewhere in sports, top-ranked UNC women's lacrosse got a big road win on Saturday, 14-12 over fourth-ranked Syracuse. Jamie Ortega with five goals to lead the way in front of nearly 3,000 fans, the largest home crowd in Syracuse history. Not as good a day for the 15th-ranked men's lacrosse team. Chris Gregg had 3 goals, but Carolina lost at number 7 Virginia, 11-4. In tennis, the top-ranked UNC women stayed unbeaten with wins over Clemson and Georgia Tech. And down in Georgia, Tar Heel junior golfer Austin Greaser missed the cut at the Masters, shooting 7 over par for the first 2 days. Still, though, the best score by an amateur at the Masters this year, and he came in ahead of several past major winners, including Bryson DeChambeau. In hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes lost to the Islanders 2-1 on Friday, but bounced back yesterday with a 5-2 win over the Ducks. They're back in action tomorrow at 7 on the road facing the Rangers. And the Durham Bulls dropped 3 straight to Nashville over the weekend, ending their first series of the season with 2 wins and 4 losses. The Bulls have their home opener tomorrow night, hosting Jacksonville at 6:35.